This message titled Renounce Rebellion. Pastor explains 7 signs that will help you know if you are rebellious and teaches how to be delivered from it.
Tonight, I want to minister the word of the Lord. From the book of Isaiah, the 30th chapter, and verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. You know, this is the last Friday of the month of July. And I want to take on a topic that I haven't preached before. It's very simple, but it's more than preaching. It is to speak the word and then pray that God will deliver you. It is on the word rebellion or rebellious people. Isaiah, the 30th chapter, verse 1, 15 is what we read, but verse 1 says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, when you look into the scripture, you will find that, you know, the very first, you could say the very first sin that happened in heaven was rebellion, where Lucifer, an angel, just rebelled against God. Rebellion is termed as rising up against established authority. A rebel is somebody who tries to pull down somebody in authority. A rebel. And Lucifer rebelled against God. And he fell down from heaven. And when God created the first man, Adam, and his wife Eve, soon you find them being tempted or seduced by the devil, and they themselves rebelling against God's word. And they lost their intimacy with God, their fellowship with God. The one sin that causes you to lose your intimacy with God, your relationship with God, is rebellion. It shows forth in terms of pride, stubbornness, arrogance, disobedience. You find, studying through the word, in the book of Exodus 32, the children of Israel, when Moses went up the mountain, they rebelled against God and made a golden calf and began to worship it. They rebelled against the voice of God. You find in the book of Genesis itself, Nimrod, his very name in Hebrew means rebellion. The king of Babylon. He wanted to build a tower that would stand against any flood that God will send. He tried to defy God. In the book of Proverbs, 17th chapter and verse 11, the scripture says, Proverbs 17 and verse 11. Please read that.
An evil man seeketh only rebellion.
An evil man seeketh only rebellion.
Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him.
Therefore,
a cruel
messenger shall be sent against him. A cruel messenger. That cruel messenger in Hebrew actually means a fierce enemy that brings in a sentence of death. A fierce enemy that brings in a sentence of death. So rebellion actually draws things that you do not want in your life. And tonight, if you're hearing this word, it is not to judge you, but to see you set free. The Lord said He will set many free from a rebellious spirit tonight. If you're hearing the word, it is God's great love towards you. It is His mercy towards you. It is His compassion towards you to set you free. That once again, you can have fellowship with Him in a very intimate way. Lift up your hands and say, Jesus! In the wilderness, Psalm 78 says there, three times it says in that psalm, they rebelled against God. God poured them manna from heaven, but they rebelled. God did one miracle after the other, but they rebelled. And so they had leanness of heart. They became fools and ended up bound because of rebellion. So rebellion is not a good thing to have. So how do you know that you are rebellious? Seven signs that helps you to know that you are rebellious. You argue with God when you know what God clearly wants from you. You read the Bible, you hear a sermon, you are convicted, but you make excuses. Yeah, but my story is different. I mean, God will understand. It is okay. You know the truth, but you look for loopholes not to obey it. It's a sign that you are rebellious inside. I was not like that before, but you know, over a period of time, I've come to a point where I said, Lord, help me to just hear your voice and just do it. Just obey you. That's all. Because every blessing, every favor, every success is in your obedience to God. It's in knowing what God wants from your life. In the Old Testament, Saul partially obeyed the Lord. He knew clearly what God wanted. In 1 Samuel 15 concerning the Amalekites, he partially obeyed. And he, you know, brought a sacrifice before God. Gave the biggest sacrifice or tithes or offerings before God. That's my way of putting it. And God said to him, obedience is better than sacrifice. And rebellion is as great a sin as witchcraft. It is equal to you doing witchcraft, black magic. When you rebel, so partial obedience in the sight of God is almost like rebellion. It's a sign that you don't trust Him. When God says something to you, say, Lord, I surrender. I love you. You find in the scriptures, Saul, who disobeyed God, rebelled against God. And you find David, a man after God's own heart. I mean, he was the youngest in the family, disregarded. Enough and more chance to be disappointed with the way people were treating him. But he chose just to be passionate about what God wanted. And God said, this is a man after my own heart. The second sign that you are a rebellious person is bitterness towards authority. It's mostly in the heart, never outside, never expressed outside. Sometimes open rebellion, yes. But otherwise it is just in the heart. Against God, against parents, against spouse, against pastor, against the boss, against the government. You are critical, disrespectful, and mocking. When you are like that, it is a sign that you're rebellious. Tonight, God is going to deliver you if you so desire Jesus to set you free. Amen. A godly person doesn't resist authority. He submits to authority. The third sign of rebellion is secret sin and then hiding it. Rebellion always loves darkness. You secretly enjoy sin, do sin, and then you hide it. Tonight, let the grace of God show up. Let the hand of Jesus in his mercy reach out to you and may God set you free. Hallelujah. Amen. That rebellious spirit, open your mouth and say, as to go out of my life, I want to follow after Jesus. Say it. Amen. A symptom or a sign of rebelliousness is lack of peace and a dry prayer life. You're praying, but you're just dry. Prayer feels empty. Worship feels distant. You feel guilty, but you don't repent. It's a sign. There's a spirit of rebellion in your heart. Five, you blame everyone else. It's never your fault. For everything that happens in your life, there is always somebody to blame. Six, you are drawn to the wrong company. You feel uncomfortable around godly people, but you're confident with people who are not godly. You're very relaxed with people who are not godly. But the moment you are in the in front of godly people, you're like, And the seventh one, you feel empty even when you win. You got what you wanted, but there is no joy. Just emptiness, just anxiety, and more craving. That's what happened to the prodigal son, the younger son. He got what he wanted, but he became empty. He won with his father, got what he wanted, went his way, but so rebellion promises you freedom, but actually takes you into bondage. Tonight, I see many of you being delivered out of the spirit of rebellion. Glory to God. Lift your hand and say, Jesus, I receive my deliverance. One more time. Say, Jesus, I receive my deliverance. Amen. You know, I was like, if you were to ask me some years back on a scale of 1 to 10, how rebellious are you? I would say 11. So some things you learn the hard way. For some people, it is the greatest sign of rebellion is somebody said, the greatest sign of my rebellion is that I push the door when it says pull. It might be in subtle ways, it might be in very dramatic ways, but the seed of rebellion is in all of Adam's children. In case you're wondering who Adam is, it's your great, 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 great grandfather. You know, in number 16, Korah, Dathan rebelled against Moses, against the authority of Moses. Actually, Korah was the first cousin of Moses. Their family. They were there for all family gatherings, and familiarity must have creeped up. He was a man of renown. He was not a small-time guy. He was a cousin who was doing well. But 250 people and Korah rebelled against Moses. Does God only speak to you? Are you the only leader? We too have a calling. You read through number 16. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible says the earth opened and swallowed him up. So you always go down when you rebel. You always go down when you rebel. That's something that God doesn't want. That is something that you shouldn't have. And tonight, there is a simple way to be delivered. I'm not going to keep till the end to give you that. It is one, return to God. Choose to return to God if you are far away from God. Two, renounce rebellion. Renounce sin. Three, repent. Or two, repent. Three, renounce. So return to God. Can you say that with me? I return to God. I repent. And I renounce. And that the Spirit cannot have authority over you. That power is broken. You return to God. You return to a loving Father. You repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I turn to you. I don't want to go this way again. I want to obey you. I want to hear your voice. And three, you renounce. Very consciously, you have to say, I renounce the spirit of rebellion. I renounce the seed of rebellion. I'm a child of God. I want to follow after the Lord. I want to obey God. Your success, your blessing, your favor, is it not doing your plan, not doing things your way? It is not asking God to sign where you want him to sign because you've made all the plans. Now just sign it here, Lord. No. It is in surrendering to God's plan, submitting to God's plan, saying, Lord, your will in my life. Lift your hand and shout for Jesus. Your will in my life. Take a song of worship.
Oh. It's you. Oh.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. So the 15th verse of Isaiah 30 is what we read. But we're going to go through verses 1 onwards and then we're going to pray. Isaiah 30, the prophet is writing this during the times of the days of Ezekiah the king. Assyria is approaching Judah to fight it. The southern tribe of Judah is being attacked by Assyria. And it is at that time, the people of Judah, they are choosing to be rebellious. So much so the prophet, saying the words of God, is saying, woe to the rebellious children. Can you imagine that? God saying, woe, woe. That's not a good thing when God says that. It's a judgment term of God. Woe. And sometimes when you're about to fall, you say, woe. You know? God is saying, woe. Woe to the rebellious children. What are they doing? They are choosing to have alliance with Egypt. They have rejected God's word. Two things. They like advice, but not God's advice. They have plans, but not God's plans. They have not sought God in prayer. But they're going to Egypt to get counsel. If you know me, if you know me a little well, you know that I don't move without God telling me to. I don't do anything. I just tell people I'll pray. I don't take a decision, a big decision, without prayer asking the Lord. As a matter of fact, I don't move fast at all. Big decisions like, who should I get married to? Which country should I immigrate to? Should I leave this church? You know, all that. You consult God in prayer. It's hard to be blessed when you don't consult God in your life. And when you're not open, sometimes people don't consult God. They tell God what he has to do. It's not you going to God and saying, Lord, bless my plans. God, I submit my plan to you. And God won't show the whole picture. Many a time. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. So it's always a step. When you take that step of faith, the next step he shows you. God is not a GPS system where he shows you, okay, preview of the route, you see, and then, no. You decide, okay, I'll go this way. No, it's not that way. But when you take those steps of faith, you know, we know the scripture, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him as Lord, and he shall direct your steps. God's kingdom is a promotional kingdom. When you take steps with him, he promotes you. Don't move till God tells you to. God's plan for your life is for a future with prosperity, blessing, and hope. Jeremiah 29:11. You know, there is this book in 2 Samuel 1. And another passage of scripture, you will find the book of Jasher. The Hebrews have that. It's a known canonical book. But it actually speaks about most of the scripture that we read from our Bible. And we don't add that book to us. But in that book of Jasher, the 75th chapter, There is an interesting thing that they say, that when the children of Israel were traveling from Egypt into the promised land, the tribe of Ephraim left early. Without Moses leading them, without the cloud moving forward, without God telling, the tribe of Ephraim, they jumped out. They were in a rush. They didn't wait for the counsel of God. They rushed out and went out. And 30,000 of them died. And so many Bible scholars believe those were the 30,000 that was in the valley in the book of Ezekiel 37 who were dead. They died in the valley. They went down. Because they stepped out when God had not yet said step out. So Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, read that scripture please. Philippians 4:6.
Be careful for nothing.
Be careful for nothing.
But in everything.
But in everything.
By prayer and
by
supplication.
Prayer,
and supplication.
But in everything. Not in just some things. In everything by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. We pray about everything. Open your mouth and say, I will pray about everything.
Everything.
Amen. See, it says here in Isaiah 30 verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel. See, they take counsel, but not of me. And that cover with a covering. And that cover with a covering. Cover is for protection. They want to have protection, but not God's protection. Assyria is coming to attack them. So they're looking for help, but they're not looking unto God. Sometimes when, you know, you face challenges, maybe financially, maybe emotionally, maybe physically, maybe career-wise, maybe in life, when you face challenges and you need help, and you don't look for help in God, but you look for help in Egypt, in an alliance, in something that you've not really sought the Lord after, you're always, God would term you as a rebellious person. There are people whom I know who say they are believers who ask unbelievers, should I leave my husband? Can you imagine that? Life decisions, they're asking an unbeliever. Blessed is a man, Psalms 1 verse 1, please. Psalms 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man.
Blessed is the man,
yes,
that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Nor standeth in the way of sinners.
Nor standeth in the way of sinners.
Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
Nor sitteth in the seat of the scorner. Or the scornful. Yeah.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Yes. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. So the Bible says in Isaiah 30 and verse 2, they add sin to sin. Who is going to help us? They said, let's go down unto Egypt. They went down to Egypt. Are you with me still? Come on. Yes. All backbenchers, come on. Come to the front bench. They went down to Egypt for help. Instead of God. Went down. When you go to Egypt, you're always going down. Who is Egypt? Your old slave master. The one who killed your children in the Nile River. The one who kept you a slave. The one who had you bound. The one who wanted to destroy you. The one who chased after you. Egypt. Mizraim, in Malayalam it says Mizraim, that's the actual right word. That word Mizraim means bondage, slavery, trouble, anguish. Egypt means sunbathed people. So they went down to Egypt. Egypt didn't help you when you were there. But now when you are in danger, you think they'll help you? The reason you came to church was because your uncle didn't help you. That liquor didn't help you. That alcohol didn't help you. That old movies didn't help you. That drugs didn't help you. That club life didn't help you. Your woman and your men didn't help you. But now you're going back to Egypt. That didn't help you in the first place. Most of the time when you have challenge, Egypt will say, come home, baby. We welcome you back. We thought we lost you. Welcome you back. Let's go clubbing again. 1 Peter 4, 3 and 4. Please, New Testament.
For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles.
The times past we have lived according to how the Gentiles lived.
When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine,
revilings,
banqueting, and abominable idolatry, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you.
Yes. See? Now that you don't come after all that, now they think it is something is wrong with you. So they speak evil of you. You know, the world can fool you once. That's shame on them. But if they fool you twice, shame on you. Because you departed from the word. Isaiah 30, verse 2. Read on, please. They walk to go down unto Egypt. Are you with me? There is no Uber. No bullet trains. It's always you walk down to Egypt. Jonah had to pay a price, pay a fare to walk away from God. When God said, go to Nineveh, he went to Tarshish. You didn't know that. Sin always costs you. Went down to Nineveh. Went down into the ship, the bottom of the ship. Went down into the depths of the sea. Went down into the stomach of the whale. See, when you choose not to seek the Lord and find a covering in His presence, you're walking down. There is no grace. It's not progress. It's you have regressed. It's not improvement. It's backwardness. Psalms 20, verse 7. Some may trust in chariots. Are you still with me? Come on, church. Some may trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will put our trust in the name of the Lord our God. Isaiah 2, 21, 22. Woe to man who puts his trust in a man that has just got breath in his nostrils. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Cursed is the man who puts his trust in the flesh. He's like a shrub in the desert. Psalm 146, verse 3. Read that. Psalm 146, verse 3. Come on.
Put not your trust in princes.
In princes.
Nor in the son of man.
Nor in the son of man.
In whom there is no help.
Psalm 60, verse 11. 60. Psalm 60, verse 11.
Will not thou, O God, which has cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies?
Yeah. Okay. We won't go on that. Third verse.
Thou hast shown
Therefore,
thy...
Shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame? And the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion? The result of rebellion is shame and confusion. Fourth verse, I think it is the sixth verse. It says,
the burden of the...
Seventh verse. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Can you imagine that? So there is no profit, there is no help actually in Egypt when you go down to it. I lift up my eyes, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth. Not in Egypt. Whichever country that you are living in, when you put your trust there, it is your second Egypt. It might be US, it might be Australia, it might be Canada, it might be Malaysia, it might be Dubai, it might be Russia, it might be China, wherever. Or some big city in India, wherever. When you put your trust, it's okay, maybe that city, if I go there, if I do that, it's your second Egypt. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. All you need is God. Say that with me. All I need is God.
All I need is God.
Open your mouth and say, all I need is Jesus.
All I need is Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Now, we don't have time to go through every scripture. I want to take you through every scripture, but we are lacking in time. Now, read the eighth verse.
Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever.
Yeah, now the ninth verse. And this is a rebellious people, lying children. You know, some people have a PhD in lying. A double PhD. These people are a rebellious people, lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. They don't want to hear the word of God. That lying, children, that word lying in Hebrew actually means not just untruth, but your very self is untrue. Not just saying an untruth, but you act in a particular way. Deceitful would be the right word for that. You act as if you belong to church, but in your heart you are not. You act as if you are God's child, but you are not living that. You act very humble, but you are not really, you are untrue to yourself. You are deceitful. You are not humble inside. You don't have to fake it to make it. And especially don't fake with God. Rebellious people fake with God. Whew. Lift your hand and say, Lord Jesus, I renounce rebellion. I renounce lying. I renounce deceitfulness. Jesus, you desire truth in the inner part. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at the 10th verse. We say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not with us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. In the Old Testament, they had S-E-E-E-R-S, seers, and prophets. Seers were the one who saw visions, and prophets were the one who gave the oracle of God, or spoke what God wanted them to say. In the New Testament, we say both together. But here the problem was, they did not want to hear the word of the Lord. They wanted their pastors, prophets to speak smooth things. Flatter them. And prophesy deceits. See, if you are a man of God or a woman of God, ministry is not flattering. Ministry is not trying to please people. smooth things. That word smooth means easy to swallow. Things easy to swallow. Having a smoothie. That is, don't tell us about our wrong. So this is a C series. It's correction series. Amen. Don't tell us what is wrong. Don't show us what's wrong with us. Just tell us smooth things. Just flatter us. You know, in the New Testament, the balance is, if you're a man of God, you will need to know this. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. Jesus said through Paul to Timothy, for the time will come
when they will not endure.
2 Timothy 4:3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall have themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away the ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But second verse, sorry. We start with second verse. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. See, three things. A preacher should reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Exhort means to edify. So it is, there are three things. One is rebuke, the other is reproof, and the third is edify or exhort. So two things are correction. Are not smooth things, strong things. Only one thing is edification. You are a wonderful congregation. God bless you. Have a great week. That is one thing. But sometimes you just want to hear only that. The ratio is 2 out of 3 is rebuke, C series. Reproof. They're both a correction. That's a divine formula. Glory to God. Some people only beat you with the Bible. I'm not a preacher like that. Some people only encourage. But the order is 2 plus 1. Because God is making himself a bride for his son Jesus. He's preparing us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We are lacking in time. So we come to the 11th verse, please. Isaiah 30 verse 11. And we close with that.
Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us.
Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Can you imagine that? They rebellious people going down. What is their attitude? They don't even want the Lord. We just want to come to church. But we don't want to hear strong things. We don't even want to worship and see the real Lord. Don't even mention his name. Just tell us good things. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from among us. Holy One of Israel is Jesus. Let him cease from before us. Before I preach, after I preach, and every time I preach, I like to present Christ Jesus. Lift up his name. Make mention of his name. Focus on him so that people can be drawn to him. They can look to him and be saved. In returning and rest shall that be your strength. But you said you would not. See, rebellious people, they said, no, we're not going to return. It's a nice message, Pastor. But I think Fridays are no more for me. I think I'll just come on Sundays. I'll get back to you after the CCs. No. This is all in heart with a heart full of love. Corrected in love. So that you can enjoy God's blessings upon your life and enjoy his presence. And more than anything else, your soul be saved on that day when Jesus Christ comes in the great clouds. Glory to God.